Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The week after vacation is always hard. That's such an awful thing to say. No one is going to feel badly for me, and I'm not looking for your sympathy. I'm not looking for any of that. I'm not looking for anything, really. I'm mostly just hoping that you'll listen to the show for the next 4 hours and hear the enthusiasm in my voice. Because not only is there a lot going on, but it's the final 4 hours of the work week that comes right on the heels of vacation. I actually had friends of mine texting me today, hey, have you done this yet? Have you done this yet? But emails, hey, can we get this done? I'm trying. I got a list. I'm working my way through it, trying to get back to the routine and the schedule. And then in the midst of all that, there is more pollen in my yard than there is in the entire state of New Jersey. I have got right now the moratorium on pollen in my yard. And so not only am I enthusiastic because it's the final show of the work week, we've got a lot of fun topics and big names that we're going to drop on you here, but I no longer have pollen in my hair. Yeah, I'm not joking. I had so much pollen in my hair after spending an hour and 15 minutes outside scooping, shoveling, and sweeping pollen off my driveway. You guys, I was using a snow shovel. I'm not kidding. A snow shovel to scoop the piles of pollen. Now, we had some rain on Wednesday night into Thursday morning, and so it was heavy, but also it wasn't blowing around. So it was just easier for me to scoop it and shovel it. I filled an entire barrel of that puffy, wispy, get all over everything brown pollen that comes off the oak trees. It had coated my driveway. And then once it got wet, the only option was the snow shovel.
We don't have a chance.
I was fighting a losing battle. So I was out there for an hour and 15 minutes. You also have to get it off your sidewalks, because if you don't, it stains your sidewalks brown. Those of you who are dealing with the pollen right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And here's the crazy part. I mean, it was all over my clothes, of course. I was wearing long sleeves and long pants, so at least it wasn't sticking to me too much. But because I had to scoop underneath the trees, I have a driveway with trees that, well, they're going to get trimmed and cut soon. But for now, they're hanging over my driveway. And as I went underneath them, of course, my only thought was, if a spider drops on me, that's it. It's all over. I'm moving. But I could feel the trees moving and shaking, which meant that pollen and the buds from the flowers on the trees was all over everything. And so when I got inside, sore as heck now too, the yard work cannot be ignored. When I got inside, I thought, okay, I know there's debris in my hair. How do I get it out of my hair? And I didn't really want to do it outside in my front yard because the neighbors already think I should move because my lawn looks like a jungle. But I decided I would tip my head upside down over the tub and take my ponytail out and just kind of make sure I didn't dump it all over the floor. Oh my gosh. There were a dozen strands of pollen, like those brown, fluffy strands in my hair.
This is the worst feeling in the world.
I don't know how it got stuck in there, but it did. I have curly hair, so I suspect it was kind of stuck in my curls. Yeah, I was shaking my head, and there's more pollen. It was like
I look good, and I know it.
I definitely did not look good. It was a snow shower of pollen in my tub. It's a good thing that I'm not allergic. I mean, I did have a runny nose, but could you imagine if I was really allergic? My nose and my eyes would be running like nobody's business. So I feel pretty good about myself now that I've had a shower and my hair is clean. But there was more pollen coming out in the shower, too. I can't be the only person who's dealing with it right now, but that's what I get for going on vacation in the springtime. So now that that's done and my hair is no longer pollinated, I'm good to go on tonight's show. And we've got a lot to get to. Per the usual, it's spring. You all know what I say. Spring thing, spring bling. Let's do the spring fling. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. P.S. Yard work totally counts as exercise. It totally counts as a workout. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I appreciate how many of you have checked out my photos from vacation. I'll have a few more to post over the weekend just as a, hey, it's been a week and I'm reminiscing. But my cloud photos are probably among my favorites. If you haven't seen them yet, they're on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And I've seen your comments on our Facebook page. I don't know that I could ever submit my photos for some kind of a contest, but I will take that under advisement. My mom also thinks I should do that along with many of you. So yes, photos on Facebook, photos on Twitter, and a piece of data that I saw in the elevator. I know that sounds funny, but we have these TV screens that are in the elevator that share nerd alerts, basically. That's why I'm always paying attention to them. The only thing missing is the nerd alert audio when I'm in the elevator. But what they do is give me some kind of quirky stats that I every now and then will use on the show, including one about sports betting among women. But you're going to have to check it out now on Twitter because I'm not ready to share it yet. I think on last night's show that wrapped up on Thursday morning, we either briefly or extensively talked about seven different sports. I could be wrong, but I think it was seven different sports. We counted at one point. I was actually counting on my fingers. That's usually producer James' move, but I was counting on my fingers. So we hit seven different sports. If we include soccer, which we briefly touched on, but we'll get into a little more tonight. But it was hoops. It was hockey in the postseason. Definitely golf. Lots of golf in advance of the PGA Championship, which is now one round deep. We talked about the NFL. We did QB news. Everything from Joe Burrow to Josh Allen. Well, Josh Allen wasn't really news-ish, but Josh Allen was also included. We hit baseball and the injury to Max Scherzer. We've got the update on Mad Max and his MRI, which happened on Thursday. And tonight we're going to hit all of those sports and then some. So we are going to mix in the soccer because it was a landmark day, a landmark milestone this week after a prolonged fight by the U.S. Women's National Team. Finally, U.S. soccer is on board. We've got highlights from the baseball world because it was kind of fun to see baseballs flying out of the park. It's that time of the year again, you know, it gets warmer. Guys start jacking up home runs. And so we'll do a little more baseball. And then college football, there's a feud brewing. Now, I can't decide if I'm going to take this feud more seriously or as seriously, I guess, as Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, which we were talking about actually in jest earlier this week, because after those two golfers were the feud in sports in 2021, no one's ever heard from them again. They've both completely dropped off the map. Bryson's not playing in this weekend's PGA Championship. Who even knows what's happening with Brooks Koepka? That was then. That was last year's feud. This year's feud, Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. And it's not even college football season yet. It's fantastic. Although I wish Nick Saban hadn't apologized and instead he had kept it going. This was going to be protracted. Anyway, we say that in jest, of course, because I don't take anything in sports too seriously. Every now and then, life and sports intersect, and we have to be serious, but you know when I'm doing that. This is probably not one of those shows. Not really. So otherwise, just take everything I say with a grain of salt. Irreverence is my general approach to sports and sports radio. So we got a lot to do. Shall we buckle up? Oh, for the first time tonight, I promise you, I've not done this. It's been over a week. No joke. It's been over a week and I haven't yet looked at any of the NFL schedule. Not even opening weekend. So I promise you tonight is the night, courtesy of Dan Campbell, that I finally look at the NFL schedule briefly. I might take a highlighter and just start highlighting things that jump out at me. Also, I'm going to have to write with my left hand because I have a really painful bruise on my right hand from all of the scooping and shoveling of the... Did you know pollen could do that to you? A barrel. I have a barrel full of pollen. I wish I had taken a photo so I could prove to you guys that there is a barrel of pollen sitting at the end of my driveway. All right, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Boston Celtics coach Ime Udoka had one message for his team after the Celts were embarrassed in the third quarter. We wouldn't say the whole game, but the third quarter of the opener of the Eastern Conference Finals in Miami. Are you ready? This is deep. It's profound. This was the Celtics coach to his team. Wake up. I like it. It did the trick. Well, that in bringing back Al Horford and one Marcus Smart.
Boston by 16 and the ball. A textbook 12 minutes. This is the Celtics team from the second half of the year. Tatum finds a wide open Pritchard for three.
Man, he's talking about moving the basketball well, connecting, knocking down shots.
Smart over the shoulder pass for Tatum, left side. Tatum spins on PJ Tucker. Pulls up 19 feet, scored in the foul. And Jason Tatum letting out 48 hours of frustration.
Count that when they won. Count it, they won, Tucker.
And the Celtics stay relentless. Smart. Left-hand dribble. Spins back into traffic. Exposed the ball, but keeps it away from Tucker. Kicking out to Tatum for a right side three.
That man hollered them fish grease.
Right-hand dribble to the baseline. Pump fake. Moves it to the middle. Caught by out of bounds. Great strip by Marcus Smart. Now Marcus Smart.
Oh!
Ball fake. Loses Struce and knocks down the jumper. Oh. A magnificent, perhaps game-defining sequence for Marcus Smart. And instead of 15, the Celtics push the lead back to 19. Timeout Eric Spoelstra because he knows it too. That was a big sequence for Marcus Smart.
Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. And I feel as though Sean was being kind when he said in that late sequence there, he loses Struce. Nah. He not only got him crossed up with the crossover, and by he, I mean Marcus Smart. Struce lost his balance, got his legs crossed, and fell over. And if you haven't seen it, it's broken social media. It's all over, Jay. If you want to, the Celtics tweeted it. The NBA tweeted the highlight. We'll put it up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Nutso. But Marcus Smart was feeling it. There's a lot to unpack here. But essentially, the Celtics were the aggressor. The Celtics were more physical. And the Celtics hit threes like they were going out of style. And that includes the first quarter in which they were 9 of 11 from beyond the arc. 9 of 11 from deep. So do you remember, if you don't, I'm here to remind you, that the Miami Heat dominated the third quarter of the opener to the tune of a 24-2 run. 24-2. In the first quarter of game 2, the Celtics came out and they were awake. Ime Udoka said, wake up. They responded with a 17-0 run in the first quarter. This is actually after the Heat had jumped out to a lead, and then boom, afterburners. Again, to the tune of 9 threes on their first 11 attempts there in the opening quarter. So there's a lot of different factors at work. The Celtics are a team that is full of veterans, a lot of guys who have a lot of playoff experience, and great leadership. They also brought back two starters in this game, Al Horford, Marcus Smart. They are 4-0 after a loss in these playoffs, meaning a lot like the final 2 months of the regular season, they tend to not compound the problem. They fix it. They figured out how to adjust and fix it. But it does help when you have a Marcus Smart, who is the defensive player of the year, to battle against Jimmy Butler. I think Butler had 16 in the third quarter again. Maybe not quite that many, but he was in double digits again in the third quarter of this game. And the Celtics saw their lead shrink, but ultimately it was the defense. I mean, it's almost like looking in a mirror from game one to game two in stretches where it was Miami using defense to offense. That was the case in this game for the Celtics. 20 points off Miami turnovers. I mean, that's your ball game right there. 20 points off Miami turnovers. And then they were 50% from beyond the arc. 20 of 40 from downtown. It's hard to beat anybody in the playoffs. They shot like that against the Milwaukee Bucks in game 7. So it's hard to beat anyone in the playoffs when you are not only getting open looks because they're swinging the ball around, but you're hitting them at that rate. But again, Marcus Smart, he provides the heart, the soul. He provides the intensity, the edge, the tenacity. And whatever you get from him on the offensive end is generally a perk. It's a bonus. You don't need 5 threes from Marcus Smart, but that's what he had. 24 points overall, 9 rebounds, 12 assists, and 3 steals. And actually, he was chomping at the bit because watching the opener of this series, well, it sucked.
It was a lot for me. You know, I was very frustrated with that because I couldn't get out there and help my teammates. I had to sit there and watch, us struggle the way we did, and knowing that I probably could have helped was very painful.
It was great to have the vets back, obviously, calming presence there. Didn't get off to our best start, a little slow to start, but fought right back into it. And after, I guess, the first 5 or 6 minutes, we held them down scoring-wise. But overall, it was good overall effort. I think our guys have bounced back really well all year, especially in the second half of the year. Haven't lost a lot of 2 games in a row in a while. And I think obviously adding Marcus and Al back gave us a little boost as far as that. But guys had pride and looked at a golden opportunity that we kind of lost and thought we could do much better and did that tonight.
I was proud of the way that, you know, we responded. Last game was tough. Just kind of how we lost. And, you know, and myself included, how I played in that third quarter. So I was excited for how we were going to just bounce back and respond. I think the sign of a good team is how you respond after losses, especially tough ones. It just kind of shows the character of the group. And, you know, we've done a really good job, you know, most of the year responding after tough losses and situations.
Jason Tatum himself had a half dozen turnovers in the third quarter of the opener, and he was frustrated with himself. Finishes this game with 27 points, and the roles are completely reversed. Now it's the Heat who have to suck it up, take this humiliation, this embarrassment, and figure out how to right the ship, figure out how to approach game 3 in Boston in a way that they're not going to get run off the court. So we've seen one of each in the Eastern Conference Finals. And you'll hear from Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, others from the Heat locker room, but I thought this was interesting because producer James and I were show prepping and we were thinking about these NBA playoffs and how, even though we've seen some series go seven, right? Not a lot of them. We've seen two series go seven from the last round. Most of the series going five and six in the opening round. One sweep, of course. But to this point, and I counted the games twice to make sure I had the right numbers, there have been 72 total playoff games. 72 NBA playoff games this season. Of those, 21. So more than a third of them have been decided by 20 points or more. So we've had a lot of blowouts. A lot of them. Even within series that have gone six games or seven games, we've seen this massive disparity from game to game. It's starting now in the Eastern Conference Finals. We certainly saw it in the series between Stars, Mavericks and Suns, even though they end up going to a game seven. We definitely saw it between Grizzlies and Warriors. It's weird, right? I mean, if you're looking from game to game as opposed to series, you'd almost think the playoffs were crappy or not real competitive. Now, again, that's not true because we're seeing these teams fight tooth and nail. It has a lot to do with adjustments. Of course, we've had guys be out because of injuries or protocols. But it is odd. It is odd that you can go from blowout to blowout to blowout to blowout and still end up with a competitive series to the point where it's going the distance. I don't think that's great for the NBA, but I'm not really sure how you would change it. I mean, it is what it is. My mom is certain the NBA playoffs are fixed. If that was the case, Mom, they wouldn't have blowouts every other night. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Final show of the work week. A little bit of everything. So straight ahead, we'll let you hear the reaction from Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, to hearts and smart that they got a healthy dose of with the Celtics in game number two. And then bottom of the hour, we'll dive into the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods started out the real solid first five holes and then started to come off the rails. But his playing partner, well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
He's sitting on top of the leaderboard. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The entire second half of the year has been about responses for the Boston Celtics. Every time they would lose a game, they would come back and not only win, they would win impressively. And tonight, with perhaps the entire series on the line. The Celtics don't just answer the call, they dominate.
We've lost a game in the playoffs before. I mean, it's a loss, where you lose by one or by 20. So it's recoup, go back to the drawing board, and get ready for game three.
Piggyback on what he said is first to four. I mean, obviously, we got to go back, watch film, and see what we did wrong, see the mistakes we made, and how we can bounce back.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gabe Vincent, Bam Adebayo. Hey, it's one game. They just had to do what we're about to do, essentially. It's weird. It's like looking in the mirror. Two teams that are defense first, aggressive and physical. But you could say, at least initially, or where they are right now, especially without Kyle Lowry, that the Celtics have more offensive options. But Jimmy Butler is a superstar, and he more than compensated in the opener. Both these teams like to shoot threes. Easy come, easy go, live by the three, die by the three. But definitely, the Celtics are a better team, a more complete team, a more organized and tenacious opponent with Marcus Smart and Al Horford on the court. As I mentioned, Marcus, 24 points, 5 triples, 9 rebounds, a dozen assists, 3 steals, and he gets to match up for the most part with Jimmy Butler. So you want to talk about a test, and yet this is the best defensive players in the league. They relish these tests. They're the ones going to the coach, well, and it's really unspoken after a while, and saying, let me take that guy. I got that guy.
I love going up against Jimmy anytime I can. You know, as a defensive player, as a competitor, he's going to make you work and he's going to make you better. So, you know, we knew it was tough for me. My assignment was just to make everything tough for him. You know, we knew he was going to hit some shots. If he did, he had to work for him. Jimmy's a warrior, man. You know, Jimmy's been doing this for a long time. He understands the game. He understands, you know, his strengths. He understands his team strengths. So when you got a guy who has an IQ like Jimmy, it's always going to be a tough matchup. It's a good one.
I look at it as it can get too much worse. You know, they whipped our tail on our home floor. I guess if they do it on their home floor, it's supposed to happen. But I don't see us doing that again.
I don't like to move on from this because it has to hurt. They tried to embarrass us. They did embarrass us. So I think we got to realize that, use it as fuel, whatever you want to say, but realize that the game can get out of hand whenever you're playing against a really good team like them that can score the ball and get stops.
I thought it was interesting that Jimmy Butler used the same word, they embarrassed us, as Marcus Smart did. Now, his comments, response was after game two, but looking back at game one, they embarrassed us. All right. So now we've got one embarrassment for each team. We've got one humiliation for each team. And you also hear Butler talk about, hey, that is okay to happen on their court, or maybe it's supposed to happen on their court, but it's not supposed to happen on ours. Game three, huge, obvi. But the numbers bear it out. That in a tie series, games three, and then, of course, game five, they're massive in terms of determining who ends up winning the playoff series when we're talking seven games. I thought, looking at the disparity, now Jimmy Butler still had 29 points, didn't score a lot in the fourth quarter, but at that point it was out of hand and out of reach. He ends up with 29 points. But in this game, he had 10 fewer free throws. So you may remember that he was 17 of 18 from the charity stripe in the opener. And what does that mean? It means aggressive. It means instead of staying in front of him or sticking with him, what was happening in game one? The Celtics were clutching, they were grabbing, they were chasing, they were scrambling. But in this game, because of Marcus Smart grabbing that defensive assignment, he's better at keeping Jimmy Butler in front of him, shuttling him toward the help defense. And Butler only took 8 free throws in this game. So 10 fewer free throws than the opener. And that's huge because he's a great free throw shooter. So you can kind of see just the way that the momentum swung in terms of who was dictating and who was the more aggressive team. both teams using the word embarrassed after one of these games now. So we're all even. Of course, on Friday night, it's Mavericks and Warriors, and they're still in the Bay Area, Golden State. That was also a blowout. So now you're three games into the conference finals, and all three games have been blowouts. I'm not saying the series are going to be short, but so far, you really only needed to watch the first half of these games. I know I shouldn't say that because that's not good for business, but whatevs. I'm not in the business of sugarcoating, nor do I need to hype up the NBA playoffs. All right, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Coming up, Tiger Woods falters after a fairly hot start. Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy with galleries of 20 people deep for
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
For Jordan, for Tiger, he excels in that environment. Wasn't always the case.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The thing that I was frustrated with is that it deteriorated as the week went on. I got more and more tired, more fatigued. I didn't have the endurance that I wanted. And now, I mean, I shouldn't expect it because I didn't earn it. I didn't go out there and I haven't done the work, but we're able to put in a little bit more work, and it's only going to get better as time goes on.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tiger Woods post-Masters. Remember, his return to tournament play for the first time in 14 months was a challenge because Augusta National, as he called it, was Mount Everest. That's about the most challenging course that they will walk along the PGA Tour calendar because of how hilly and how far you have to walk in between holes, yada, yada, yada. And so by the end of the Masters, even though he did make the cut because he's very familiar with the track, it's a place where he's had so much success. By the end, by the weekend, he was limping and did not have the same push, did not have the same ability to either get the length or the accuracy that he needed to remain competitive at Augusta National. But he only took the one day off, that's what he told us, and then he went right back to work. Leg day was Tuesday, following the Masters after his Monday off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. No shortage of big names making headlines on this Thursday night into Friday morning. That includes Tiger Woods, who was part of the highest of high-profile galleries at the PGA Championship in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Thursday. And we'll see the same group again on Friday, though they tee off in the afternoon. So it's kind of neat the way they do it. It's not for TV or for fans. It's so that, well, it's really in the name of equality. You can't determine how the wind or the weather will be from one day to the next, but they flip the tee time. So if you started early on Thursday, you're generally later on Friday. Again, in the name of equality, that's how they do the first 2 days of their tournaments. So with the PGA, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth, who is in search of the career Grand Slam, something that Tiger has, they were an early pairing. Just after 8 o'clock Tulsa time, 9 o'clock Eastern time, and the galleries were humongous. 20 people deep and then some. I've been in galleries like that around Tiger Woods, around Phil Mickelson, at closing holes at either majors or just other major big tournaments, It's crazy. It's a mad crush of bodies outside the ropes. And you just have to be comfortable with human flesh all around you. But that's what it's like. There's no room to move. And honestly, when these guys are teeing up shots or they're standing over a putt, especially if they're near the ropes or actually if they're outside the ropes, everybody has to be quiet. That's the rule. And so just a mad crush of humanity and everybody has to be quiet on demand, on command. Tiger started out with a birdie on his opening hole. Now, he and his partners, Jordan and Rory, actually started on the back nine. So they play the back nine first today. They'll play the front nine first on Friday. The front nine first. That sounds funny. Again, it's all about equality. It's about getting everybody on the course at the same time. It would take far too long with the number of golfers if you weren't starting guys on both the front and the back at the same time. So he birdies his opening hole. And then through five holes, he's minus two. Not through the five hole. Through five holes, he's minus two. But about the time he makes the turn, he has a shot that he yells about. And from that point on, he really seemed to struggle physically. And then from that point on, there weren't a whole lot of those birdie opportunities. He was trying to get up and down pretty much every hole. His short game, I wouldn't say it deserted him, but he kept putting himself in positions where he had to dig out of either precarious spots or the sand. And so he finishes up with five bogeys then. And it became really difficult for him to try to make up any ground.
I really didn't get myself any looks for birdie. You know, I was struggling trying to get the ball, on the green, and I missed quite a few iron shots both ways. So it was a frustrating day.
He finishes at plus four. Now, he's not the only big name that is in black numbers, excuse me. I think John Rahm's at plus three, maybe. Jordan Spieth is also over par. And so there are a lot of guys that will try to use Friday to make up some ground. Again, he's not completely out of it. It's just that he really struggled even to get around the course again on the back nine. And so this was supposed to be an easier course, a little flatter of a course, maybe not as physically demanding. But to make up ground with so many guys who will be in the same boat, right? So again, he's plus four. John Rahm, who is one of the top golfers in the world, he's plus three. Jordan Spieth is plus two. Dustin Johnson is plus three. He didn't go out there and suck to the point where he has no chance of making the cut and playing the weekend. But obviously, when you look at him physically and you know after the first nine holes, he's already limping. I mean, that tells you something. He's still struggling with that surgically repaired leg, and it's only day one.
Yeah, my leg is not feeling as good as I would like it to be. We'll start the recovery process and get after it tomorrow. I just can't load it. And loading hurts, and pressing off it hurts, and walking hurts, and twisting hurts. So it's just golf. If I don't play that, if I don't do that, then I'm all right.
And so Tiger Woods has got ground to make up, but how much ground can he make up when he talks about how much pain his leg is in? I think it's still worth noting again that he is playing major tournament golf at Brooks Koepka's plus five. So there are guys that are on two legs that are strong contenders, some of the top golfers in the world that did not make the cut at the Masters like he did and are in the same boat as he is after the opening round of the PGA. It's just that there's no opportunity to rest much. You can get an ice bath. You can get treatment. But, man, you're right back out there on the course early afternoon on Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Interesting disparity then because Rory McIlroy, He starts out like a house on fire. He has four birdies in his first nine holes. And this is exactly where he wants to be. Well, a lot of the attention on Tiger Woods, certainly on Jordan Spieth. I would say, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Would you say he's the third draw, if you're ranking the draws of this group, Tiger, Jordan, Rory, or just Tiger, and then Jordan and Rory are afterthoughts? Because honestly, I think if you're in a huge gallery and it's these three golfers, probably you're most interested in Tiger and then Jordan, but maybe I'm selling Rory short.
No, I think Tiger would outdraw any golfer in the tour.
Sure.
But I think a little bit more of attention is going to be on Jordan in this one just because he is chasing that career Grand Slam, which he kind of draw the attention on it himself. He called it the elephant in the room for him. So, he's definitely thinking about it. It is out there in that class, though, as I think Rory is the third, though, which is crazy, but he is.
And yet, he is the only one who is sitting at minus five and is solo atop the leaderboard.
It was a great start to the tournament. I've been playing well coming in here. I've been carrying some good form. Obviously, that took a lot from that last round at Augusta. Played well up in D.C. at the Wells Fargo there. So I'm playing good in the practice rounds earlier this week.
There are a couple of golfers at minus four. There are several golfers at minus three, including Justin Thomas. And then you've got a healthy number of golfers. Some names you know, some names you probably don't, who are also in red numbers. But right now, it's Rory, and they tee off. He, Jordan, Tiger, with their massive galleries, tee off at 1:36 Oklahoma time on Friday.
I feel like this course, it lets you be pretty aggressive off the tee if you want to be. So I hit quite a lot of drivers out there and took advantage of my length and finished that off with some nice iron play and some nice putting.
It's just odd because it almost feels like there's two tournaments going on. As much as Tiger Woods tells you that he can get a W and that he's only out there because he believes he can win, I don't want to speak for the American public, but I feel like the prevailing sentiment is him making the cut is a positive. And just the fact that he's golfing, we can't overlook that. But that there are very, very low expectations of him actually competing for the title. Now, we talked with Brady Cannon of VSiN Network, who has the Long Shots podcast, and he told me that he put a 50-1 bet on Tiger to win the British Open, so the Open Championship at St. Andrews, but he actually thought that Tiger would miss the cut this weekend. So it's that tournament. It's the tournament that Tiger's playing, which is, hey, we're just happy that you're here. We don't have any huge expectations. We want to enjoy the fact that you're playing golf again. And we're watching you limp and wondering if you're going to make it through four rounds. And then there's the other tournament, which is the one where everybody else is chasing the win. Is that odd? Is that maybe it's just me, but it feels like there's two very different reasons and ways to watch this tournament.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. You're watching Tiger not necessarily thinking he's going to win the tournament and beat Zalatoris and these guys at the top, but you are watching just kind of see how he looks and how good he can look and how back he is. So it is kind of like two different tournaments. I don't think Tiger's going to win, but I'm still going to watch every single shot he takes today.
Yeah, interesting to watch what he does and the shots that he pulls out every now and then. Like I said, he had two birdies in his first five holes. And similar to the Masters, where he started out with a round in which he was in the top 10, people were all excited. It's just not sustainable. And maybe the fact that he hasn't taken much time off since the Masters is part of the issue. He goes hard. We know that. He's relentless. He won the U.S. Open on a torn ACL going back to 2008. So this is Tiger Woods. And he is still golfing, which is the positive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.